And I will say you are not entirely wrong, because like 98% of distant relations are probably a cousin of some kind.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to not be a cousin of some kind.
Yeah.
So what is so my wife's sister?
That's your sister-in-law so
sister-in-law,
far.
Her husband is not my brother-in-law.
I have heard that just referred to as a brother-in-law.
See, I've heard it as brother-in-law
or
as
my
well.
Sister-in-law's husband. But
see, because I'm normally in the husband, because it's not necessarily.
I think the most accurate would be brother-in-laws.
Brother-in-law-in-laws.
Brother-in-laws, because there are multiple laws linking him to be your brother.
Sure.
The legal relationship marriage between you and your wife and the legal relationship marriage between
them
have made him your... But now, that's different than brothers-in-law.
Because brother...
brother-in-laws.
Yeah, because the brothers-in-law are literally your...
If your wife had two brothers.
Yes.
They would be brothers.
Yes,
and it's in like law. Burritos supreme.
Hermanos-in-law.
Wait, Manos, what? The hand of fate?
Hermanos.
Hermanos.
Hermano.
Hermano.
Hermanos. No, I remember like years ago, I actually bothered to look up the rules for what is like a second cousin once removed.
Oh,
and all
oh.
That.
It's not that complicated.
What?
I don't know. It's annoying. It is annoying how detailed the rules are for describing those relations.
It's super easy. You find the closest matching level on a family tree.
Yeah,
you count up until you find siblings. That's what level cousin you are.
Yeah,
and then you count difference between them being on the same level, and that's the removals. So if you,
I'm sorry, I did not hear any of that explanation.
You find one of them on a family tree.
Sure,
the one that's highest up the family tree.
Sure,
and then you go to that level. And you count up how many times till you find siblings. So if you had to go up three levels to find a brother and a sister,
sure,
that is third cousin level.
Okay.
Now, how many more steps do you have to go down on the
to
offset
get to
one?
You?
And that's the removed.
So it's third cousin, so, twice removed if you had to go down two steps.
Oh, my God.
If you and I,
yeah,
our grandparents were siblings,
sure,
we'd be second cousins.
Yes.
It's two steps up.
Yep, two generations.
Johnny and I would be second cousins
once removed. And
that's it. That's the whole rule.
Then my so in that
But you really need a family tree to do the math.
Yeah. So
cuz then you can draw, you can put a ruler across it and just count up.
So then in that relation, my dad, say in the hypothetical, my dad would be your first cousin once removed?
Yep, because it's one step up.
From him to you.
He's the highest, is one step up to siblings.
Got you.
And then you have to go one more down to get me. So, yes.
Okay.
Your dad and I are first cousins once removed. Johnny and I are second cousins once removed. But the removal's on the other side. But that doesn't come up in the description.
Sure.
Where the removal is.
So siblings are zeroth cousins.
Technically, siblings are zeroth cousins.
Oh,
zero
way
removed.
Yeah, yeah, that's an interesting way of thinking about it.
Hey, and welcome to Crippled System.
Oh, Lord.
281. My name is Andy.
I'm Travis.
I'm Nathan.
And I'm Dave.
Hi.
Hello. Yeah, so part of the cousins conversation did go live.
A lot. Is that 3 minutes? It says? Good Lord. Glad I wasn't badmouthing and redacted. Boop.
Yeah, no, I didn't have any of that recorded.
Yeah,
so.
What? Any of what? There was nothing to record. None of us badmouth anybody before we start recording.
Hey, redacted's real bad.
Redacted is a terrible.
Also, Rick is really pissed off at me right now.
What?
What?
What'd you do to Rick?
With the artwork.
Oh, really?
Rick is super upset.
Oh, really?
Really upset.
Brian gave you dibs years ago on that artwork.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Years ago, you got dibs.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's...
So this is the standing to anyone that has cool things for War Machine Hordes that are unique.
Privateer Press. Not even just War Machine Hordes.
Privateer Press. I'm calling dibs now.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, just...
Like, Andy, if Andy ever decides to get rid of that, I've dibs that since the day you got it.
Oh. Well, depends on who's going to pay more.
Oh.
Whoa. Well, you've dibbed at least enough that he gets the opportunity to match.
Sure.
Okay. That's... Yeah.
You give him tie break in a bidding war.
I've dibs that. Like, I was super jealous when you got that. That was awesome that you got that, though.
I still want to get a shadow box and put the
Gorman in front of it. That'd be really cool.
Oh.
So somebody doesn't know what that is, or you can't really see it on the stream at all, but that's the concept art for the Gorman to Seawolf.
I need to double check.
It was a very cool Gen Con gift.
Speaking of cool things to get at Gen Con, I got one of the old banners once upon a time.
That'd be awesome.
The Striker banner. And I gave that / sold that to...
Misty?
I had it up at Misty for a while, and then I sold it to a couple that is no longer a couple. And I don't recall seeing it when I helped the person that I like from that couple move a little while ago. So I'm not certain if they still have it or not. I'd be curious. I should.
You should ask them back. Yeah, because that'd be really cool to get back. Because I've got JR gave me the Krios, very old one Krios, and then the if you're at War Machine Weekend when it was still War Machine Weekend. Last year I was running an IKRPG what the hell was that adventure called?
Sounds right.
No, it wasn't Longest Night. It was, why am I forgetting the adventure name? It was the wolf one. Oh, I can't remember the adventure
Wolf Among
name.
Us?
No, it's something similar to that. But anyway, it's the meat banner I got.
Fucking remote. I'm sitting there looking all over for my remote and it was... Right next to me.
Wolf Among Us has my favorite dialogue option of all the Telltale games, for what it's worth. Because you're talking to a guy in a bar. You know, you play the Telltale games. Well, whatever. It's, you know, like, options will pop up, right?
Yeah. It'll be game is. I haven't played one.
The dialogue options will pop up. And, Jim in chat knows the couple, and he can, yeah.
No, but that wasn't any trash talking.
That wasn't the trash talking. That's unrelated. And I don't even necessarily want it back. I just want to make sure that the person who's a good person gets has it. Yes. Or, you know, or at least it wasn't garbage, whatever. So anyway, one of the times you're, like, interviewing a guy in the bar about, like, whatever, and the options that pop up are three things, and then the fourth option is glass him. Which to British people, they know that slang. To an American person, you don't know that slang.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
And glass him means take the glass you're currently drinking from and smash him in the face.
Sure.
And so you select that option, you just fucking cock this guy, and it's wonderful because Big B's the best. Because
that's an interesting thing that, I notice a bunch with the Australian and or European War Machine players is the slang. Like, to us, the C word is offensive. To them, it is not.
Yeah.
Or as not as offensive.
What are you talking about? Cunt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be the one. I'll be the bad guy.
Well, I was about to have to say, because I was going to say along those lines, one of my favorite things I've seen about Australia, they say you call your mates cunt and cunt's mate. And I'm like, you know what? From my interaction with Australians, I think that's about right. Like, an Australian's calling you mate, he does not like you. Yeah.
Because that's like the other idioms, more. I think those are idioms, aren't they?
Yeah, sure.
You kind of just did one. The no, yeah, 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 no.
Yeah, well, the Midwest thing.
The Midwest, yeah, yeah, no, yeah.
Ope is the big Ope. Midwest
thing. I don't know. What is Ope?
Unless it's either it's a joke that everyone else claims we do it, or we all do it so subconsciously we don't know.
I don't
recognize
it.
I've never said
it.
Ope.
I think it's maybe it's a cut short of oops or something like that.
Basically, yeah.
I've never done that.
I think, like, thinking back, I can think of, like, once or twice where I've made, like, a guttural noise like that. Like, if somebody, like, dropped something, I kind of go, Ope! You know,
but it's like an oops or a whoops. I
associate that with people that have a more stereotypical Midwestern accent, like more of a out Western Midwestern accent, and not like an Eastern Wisconsin,
like more of the Iowan or the Minnesotan
accent. Because I've got one of my neighbors has that accent and says ope.
See, I've never heard that. So when I saw that meme going around, I'm like, I couldn't even rationalize what the word, like how to say the word, because it's so. Like, not me.
Yeah, I was like, is it like ope? Like, ole? Yeah. Is the E there? Is it opa? That's how you spell opa.
Yeah.
Like, oofta? I know oofta.
Oofta's a thing.
Yeah,
oofta's a thing. Because I had to explain that, or Iggy, it was like, oofta, like, because I had to say oofta. Like, that's something I know I say. Yeah. And she's like, that's a thing? And because you found the Wikipedia article that explained it. She's like, shit, it's a thing.
Yeah, is that one Norwegian or German? Because anything Wisconsin's do come from one of those two
I thought
places.
It was Norwegian.
Yeah.
I thought it was Norwegian.
It's Norwegian.
It's Wisconsin for sure, which means it's a coin flip between those two etymologies.
It's German.
No, I believe it's Norwegian because my dad always said it.
You're going to look
it
up before. Norwegian. That's fine. One of us are going to Google it.
The Wisconsin one.
I was
going
to say the two engineers are literally going to look this up because they have to.
The Wisconsin one that saddens me because I no longer say it just because it's so quintessential. essentially only Wisconsin and only Milwaukee that I've lost it through the years from talking to other people is Bubblers? I no longer naturally say bubbler. My
natural inclination is not a Milwaukee thing. That's not a Milwaukee thing.
It is nowhere on the planet is it called a bubbler.
No, it's
only called a bubbler.
I grew up in Hortonville. No. It's bubbler in Wisconsin.
Okay. Yeah.
So the reason that is because Kohler had such a great commercial campaign for their bubbler product that Wisconsin, Oregon, there's a city in Oregon, and I think it's Boston.
It is Norwegian. I was wrong.
So I think it's Boston.
I also believe
those three
also,
have
not
bubbles.
Only a good campaign, I saw someplace saying that the original trademark for the mechanism was called a bubbler.
Sure.
So the technical original term is bubbler, so calling it a drinking fountain is like,
not
that
action.
Is not
act.
Yeah. But that said, I do not call it a bubbler, and I feel bad, because as a kid, I did call it a bubbler.
It's a bubbler for me, and I grew up in Appleton area. It's a bubbler for everyone up there. Like, it's not a bubbler.
Because I moved from Wisconsin down to Illinois when I was like 5.
Oh, sure, you'd lose it from
so
that.
So I lost it.
Yeah, you'd lose it from that.
Nope, I still call it a bubbler.
It's a bubbler to me.
Yep.
It confused everyone, like all the Canadians, all the Australians. It's like, even in Seattle, it's like, where's a bubbler? And they're like, wait, what? Like, it's a bubbler.
Yeah.
You know, that was when I first moved up here and was working in the research group here, and I addressed the people as y'all. And everybody just sort of looked at me and was like, wait, what? People say that? I'm like, yeah.
Y'all is great. Yeah. I fully support y'all.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I mean,
I don't like writing it, but I'll definitely say it.
Yeah. As long as you write it correctly.
Nope. I love, oh my God. I wish we had a video camera.
Fucking
when,
shirt.
Is y'all
when we had?
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's no problem. I just like I said, I just wish we had a video camera for that day that Nathan, famous
broke.
Dave's broke Nathan in multiple ways.
It was in stages.
Yeah,
I'll have you answer your own question. We're going to go Socratic method, Travis. What is y'all short for?
You all.
So how do you use apostrophes when shortening words?
It's most likely. I'm trying to figure out if it's YA apostrophe LL or Y apostrophe ALL.
What do you do with an apostrophe when you're contracting words? Where does it go?
Between the two words.
Between the two.
Where the missing letters are.
Yes.
So how do you spell y'all?
Y apostrophe ALL.
Easy peasy.
As a southerner,
it follows standard grammatical rules. It replaces the missing letters with the apostrophe when forming the contraction.
I would argue that slang ya.
There's no ya.
As a southerner, I would claim that it can be correctly spelled as Y apostrophe ALL or Y ALL. And
without the apostrophe,
I would accept Y A apostrophe LL is just wrong.
That is killing spree triggering for me. Like, heads up, don't jokey troll me. And I will stab you to death.
I consider the Florence y'all water tower as the canonical usage of it, and it is spelled Y apostrophe ALL.
Also, standard grammatical reasons. Yeah. Like, it's.
Yeah.
Because if you do YA apostrophe LL, is it Yah will? Like,
because I was going through the head of my different, like, the different contractions, no. Like, no, it doesn't follow. Okay.
Yeah. Mm. So one time Brian and Andy kidnapped me. Legally speaking, that was kidnapping. Because I was in the back seat of the car and I wanted out and they would not let me out and they drove around for half an hour with me captive with no escape.
You can tuck and
that
roll.
That is accurate.
You can tuck and roll.
Okay, so a kidnappee can escape. That doesn't mean they weren't kidnapped.
That is accurate.
Thank you.
Thing is, though, we would do that on a regular basis for anybody.
So it's like serial kidnappers.
No, we basically, the premise is, let's get some food. I don't know where we want to get food at. Let's just drive around
the answer
until
wasn't
we find
too hot.
Food.
I think you want to say right now, I plead the fifth.
No, yeah. I don't care.
So anyway, like, they legally kidnapped me. So I'm furious at screaming, and they finally stop after like 45 minutes of the fucking Famous Dave's because they know it's going to piss me off. Because right outside the Famous Dave's, there's a giant sign that says, y'all get some YA apostrophe LL. So they pull up to that giant sign. And I mean giant. The sign is like 5 foot by 10 feet with a fucking 8 foot pig on it. So they pull up, and I see it, and I'm angry. And that's fine. I'll choke it down, and we'll eat. At least I'll get some barbecue that's equally as good as anything you can get at War Machine Weekend. So, that's counter-trolling,
bitch. It's interesting that War Machine Weekend doesn't exist.
Warfare Weekend, you're right. Warfare Weekend might have better barbecue. That might be worth the drive and the hour wait, but won't be. So, we go inside.
Keep going. I have something to say about that afterwards.
We go inside, and the servers are walking around, and they're wearing stupid shirts with stupid words on them because, you know, it's shenanigans. They got crazy crap on the walls, right? So one of the waitresses walks by, and she's wearing a shirt that says helping pigs reach their potential, T-H-E-R-E. So I start to get angry. Angrier. I'm going to level 5 on a scale of 1 to 3. So I'm going to 5. And I'm getting my phone out because I'm going to take a picture. And then as I'm lifting up my phone to take a picture of that waitress, another waitress walks in front of me, past me, wearing a shirt that says helping pigs reach their potential, T-H-E-I-R. There's two versions of the fucking shirt, one of which is spelled right. Are you shitting me, famous? Oh, that's what I broke. I literally sat down on a bench with my head in my hands for like 5 minutes.
So you're saying what we need is another shirt that, that has it spelled T-H-I-E-R.
Yeah, or T-H-E-Y apostrophe R-E. Or based on their apostrophe uses, T-H apostrophe E-R-Y-E. Fuck you, famous Daves.
I mean, I just want to point out that they only claim to be famous, not good barbecue.
That is true. It's infamous, Dave.
It's a passable barbecue place.
It's just as good as any place else.
So wait, has Famous Dave's effectively been the, and I'm going to forget the quote, the whole live long enough to you become the villain?
Yeah, but fuck them.
Was Famous Dave's ever any good?
I don't know.
I mean, but they actually have Famous Dave's in states where they actually produce barbecue, which is the thing that I don't understand.
Yeah, they produce barbecue. It's just as good as any other barbecue because barbecue all tastes the same, which is good. Barbecue's always good. It's hard to fuck up barbecue.
So the fun aspect of it is I don't have to go to St. Louis to get good barbecue now. I can go to Sugar Fire in Indy. Because Indy has Sugar Fire.
Well, we have a Dickies barbecue right over by Greenway Station, and Dickies is exactly as good as Sugar Fire also.
Yeah.
Dickies is passable as well.
Yeah.
They're all passable.
You know what they have at Dickies that's great, though? Fried okra.
You know what I miss, though? I miss... what was the...
Papa Bears.
Papa Bears was amazing.
I miss Papa Bears.
Oh, I hated Papa Bears.
Papa Bears over by Misty Mountain?
Yeah.
The thing to hate about Papa Bears is that any tournament at Misty Mountain was going to go an extra 2 hours because of all the people going on the lunch break to get to Papa Bears.
I mean,
but it was fucking worth
it. If you want a barbecue place, basically you don't want to go to any kind of like
chain
at all. Yeah. You want to go to a place that's a hole in the wall that, you know.
You have to walk in and immediately wonder why the county health department has not shut this place down.
Correct. Walk in is already too good. You need a place that doesn't have seating because it's just two ladies in a trailer serving you through a window.
That would be amazing. And you know how, like, that would get a ton of business.
The best barbecue place I've ever been to is in Lexington, Kentucky. It's called Blue Door Smokehouse, and you can tell it's good because there's no parking, and you walk up to the building, and one of the windows is covered with cardboard duct taped over the hole, and the hours for the building are written in Sharpie on the piece of cardboard.
Yep.
And my God, it's amazing.
That's awesome. They ain't got time for fixing a window. They're making barbecue, bitch.
Yeah, they're there at like 3 a.m. throwing that shit into the smokers.
Yeah, that's awesome.
If none of you have watched the newest season of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, because I know all of us are huge fans of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, although now it's just Queer Eye because it's not just Straight Guy anymore.
Sure.
They have an episode that's literally what I just described. It's these two sisters that run a barbecue joint that is like... It's a shack the size of your bathroom, and it's just the two of them making food and serving out a window until they run out of food, which is always like 45 minutes after they open because there's 100 people. It's Woodstock outside there because it's the best barbecue on the planet.
That's also a sign of a good barbecue place that they will actually run out of food after a while.
Yeah.
I mean, Sugar Fire, that's my go-to for the St. Louis barbecue stuff, but they run out of food after a while.
We've been told that Sugar Fire is the bottom tier of St. Louis barbecue. It's just the most accessible.
Yeah.
I mean, I had some of the... Papa place that I went there. I went to three, and I got brisket at all three, and I think the best of it was the Papa something the brisket, but...
Well, I mean, I've said it before and I say it again. It's not a knock on Sugar Fire. It's just the fact that... The middle pack of barbecue is so all the same because it's hard to fuck it up. It's the same as pizza and hot dogs. Home Depot hot dog is as good as any hot dog restaurant on the planet because it's hard to fuck up a hot dog.
Well, you think of like Quick Trip. So that's my prime example right now. You go to the Quick Trip for the cheeseburgers or the breakfast sandwiches or anything like that. It is on competition with McDonald's.
Yeah,
like,
no, it's fine.
It's the same exact sort of food.
Well, hold on. At least McDonald's, you know how long it's been on that warmer.
Sure.
Do you?
But I mean,
Burger King and Wendy's are made sooner. McDonald's, that shit stays under the lamp for hours.
It's not a lamp. It's kind of just a heater.
It's like a
heat lamp, right?
No.
No.
They have a drawer system.
Big machine that's a drawer, yeah.
Yeah, I know, but inside the drawer to do the heating, oh, I thought it was just lights.
Instead of having a heating element, it used to be a literal heat lamp.
Yeah.
Mind you, my experiences from when I was 18.
Sure, ditto.
So I don't think it's a lamp.
Mine was Burger King from 20 years ago.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
I will say, though, I really don't like Burger King, but, man, I love the smell of Burger King when I drive past it.
Burger King does have the better smell of the two.
It just smells.
If Burger King had dollar any size soda, I would never go to McDonald's again.
Because I prefer...
Burger King has better fries,
yes,
better fries burgers. Sure. They've got the cheaper McNuggets. There's no reason I should spend $8 for 10 yes. McNuggets when I can get infinite for a nickel at Burger King.
$1.50 or whatever it is for 10 is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time convincing my son because he doesn't want to go there. And when they had the spicy nuggets, those were fantastic.
Yeah.
And more Burger Kings have freestyle machines than McDonald's.
Yep. Also onion rings.
What kind of, is it Coke freestyle?
Coke freestyle, yeah.
I'm not a Coke person, so.
What?
I hate Coke.
Well, the problem is the Coke freestyle has Dr. Pepper instead of Mr. Pibb. The good freestyles have Mr. Pibb in them.
Yeah, so hold on.
I have issues with Hoots because they have Coke freestyle. You like the Pepsi freestyle machine?
Every time I've had it, the Pepsi Spire has been terrible.
It's been the worst.
I don't normally drink soda anymore.
Okay, well, that's fair.
Well, I mean, honestly, that's one of the reasons I love freestyle is because you actually have more than one option of sugar-free soda.
Correct.
Which is
because you're not just pigeonholed into that one.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can get shit like Mellow Yellow Zero Citrus Twist, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Or you can go to Wendy's.
Mellow Yellow, so Coke probably.
And Wendy's has freestyle machines, and then they are stocked with probably the three or at least two best sodas in the world, which is the Dave's sodas, which is like an orange cream soda and a cherry cream soda.
Orange cream soda sounds good.
Yeah.
The cherry cream is so.
They're also available and sugar free and are really good too.
Yeah.
So, can I segue into a topic and then we can segue back to the one that's local to us?
Why are you asking permission? Just go.
So, in Seattle, when I was flying back, I literally spent 10 minutes walking around the Seattle airport looking for a Pepsi. Because I'm like, Coke machine, nope. Coke machine, nope. Coke machine, nope. And literally found two places that had Pepsis. I'm like, fine, I'm going to you guys. And they're like really weird when I walk away. I just want a Pepsi and then walk away.
Yeah.
So because I was in Seattle, I was at Lock and Load.
Oh, you wanted to talk about Lock and Load.
That was the Segway.
Segway.
So
remember when that guy drove his Segway off a cliff? He was a billionaire. No loss.
So yeah, Lock and Load was two weekends ago.
Yeah.
Has it been 2 weeks already?
Yeah. I still haven't recovered from being sick after Origins. So. Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I managed to not get sick at Lock and Load, which is pretty awesome.
Go Carver! Go Carver. Fucking Carver won some...
Stormbreak?
He drove a boat blimp.
Stormbreak, yeah. The Stormbreak narrative was super cool. Seeing those tables was really neat.
And I 100% guarantee, straight from the word of mouth from Privateer Press staff members, that because Pigs did so well in that narrative event, they're going to make Rorsch 2. No takebacks. I have made up some or all of that.
I've seen it already. Okay.
Yeah, Hungerford put it in writing for me. I think I have it here.
Here's a notepad.
Let me see if I can find it. No. I needed a notepad for unrelated reasons.
So the two major things I learned is Seattle construction sucked. I am having steak and steak kebabs tonight for dinner.
Fuck you.
So Lock and Load is a ton of fun. It turns out that Privateer Press's HQ is literally an office with a warehouse, and it's not much more glamorous than that.
Yeah.
Because I know. I knew it was that, but it was really kind of like, I'm at Privateer Press HQ and walking around, and it's just a warehouse, and it's just an office, and there's nothing special about it. It's literally like every other warehouse and every other office.
You know what's special about it? It's Privateer Press. What did you think? It was going to have Oompa Loompas?
Hey, like- they do have a really cool stairway, though. They have a shit ton of banners literally lining a Andy's kind of stairway. So literally if your stairway had banners along every side going down, it was really neat to see that.
Not anymore.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah, because they're moving.
They're moving.
Yeah, sir. So that was a lot of fun to see that and to meet Bob, their new, I think, CEO. CEO, because Sherry's still president. So it was nice to meet Bob and hang out with him. And then I got to run a ton of events for Privateer Press. And so I ran Masters Champions. What else did I run? Tyson ran Who's the Boss? Masters Champions. What are you doing?
There's four cards in here.
Is there four cards? Yeah, there's four different models.
Oh, because of that ass hat. Yeah, okay. I was confused because the sticker only mentioned three guys.
Sure, sure, sure.
It's also the best model in the world there, the Carnotron.
The model's amazing. You are
so
right.
I did pick up stuff for Nathan and Andy, so I'm going to give them their presents.
Yay.
In a little bit. But
they have smiley faces on them.
They do. The Uber Core is smiley.
Yeah.
So it was really nice to see everyone and watch everyone play with Infernals and watch everyone break out a bunch of Monpok stuff. So it was really neat to... people, I think I saw a couple Uber Core actually get assembled and played there.
They had the first Monpok tournament at Lock and Load.
Not the first. We had
first Monpok.
We had
yeah.
No Monpok. We ran tournaments at Gen Con last year when we ran
for Lock and Load.
Oh, for Lock and Load, yes.
Oh.
For Lock and Load, yes. Yeah. They had the first tournament.
So you were not parsing your sentence that way.
Correct. Yeah, I parsed it differently.
Yeah, no, because I think if I remember correctly, when Lock and Load came out, the Monpok was already on its. I think that was the year it.
Correct. Yeah, Monpok. I don't believe ran
was
it.
Still existing then. But.
So yeah, we had two Monpok events. I forget if it was like 12 to 16 people in each, somewhere in that area. And we had a two monster event for those. Those were a lot of fun, a lot of people. It was a ton of people playing Monpok overnight, which was really cool to see. It actually does give me a little bit of hope of being able to run Adepticon, not necessarily 24 hours, but definitely a longer period of time because they didn't staff Lock and Load the Iron Arena the same way as what we've been trying to do at Adepticon. So I'm hoping... for Adepticon that we get like longer hours because that was something a lot of people have recommended and asked for.
If they need to 1099 somebody too to correct. Sit behind
we'll figure
desk
something
just
out
to make sure no one walks away with shit.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
It also partly depends on Adepticon allowing that.
Correct. Yeah. And the benefit is because I'm me, I'm really both people for both companies.
Yeah.
So it helps me.
In both of those things.
Helps out a lot. So
that's the Venn diagram. You have Adepticon staff. Privateer Press staff, and then me. The overlap just says Travis.
Yes.
Just the whole diagram.
Just me.
Adepticon and Lock and Load are in the small part there.
What?
I get it.
One giant circle of Travis, and then Privateer.
Little tiny circles inside there, I guess, somehow.
Yeah, that's not the overlap.
That's not how Venn diagrams work. What?
But, so, ran a bunch of events. Retribution won Masters. No, Champions. Which one did they win? They won Champions.
They did not win
Monpok. No, they won
they won Masters.
They won
with,
Masters.
Gary too.
Yes, Gareth won Masters. And then I believe it was Circle winning Masters.
Champions, you mean?
Champions, yes.
Yeah, I think that was the case.
I think that was the case. I forget now. And then overall, Circle won Iron Gauntlet.
Yeah.
With Retribution in the finals, which was pretty cool to watch those two go at it at the end.
I watched a couple of the games in the final, and to see it was Ben Beckman's Gary 2
for,
that swept it and,
for Masters. Yeah, that was a very neat. He is very good at his list, so it was very entertaining to watch him play that. And then Iron Gauntlet went well. There was I forget if it was like 23 or 24 people, something of that nature. So that one, a lot of fun, a different type of event that we normally run for them. And then, I picked up a lot of stuff. I came home with a ton of models because I bought basically everything I could for Infernals that I didn't have, I already had most of it, but bought more. And then bought all of the Monpok stuff.
Yeah, Monpok stuff.
Uber Core.
There you go. Have some exclusives.
I got some Orange Slush Cthugrosh.
I proxied CyberCon in my most recent Monpok game, and it went all right. I didn't get to use the double stomp because it wasn't tactically necessary while he was in alpha form, but hyperform, anytime you can have an extra attack so you can unbubble wrap your opponent is so good.
Yeah. I think those are some of the coolest monsters.
Jesus. Oh, fuck. Grappler is an amazingly good ability.
Bad?
Like... Keith has been playing Kraken Octus.
And this is the day that crippled system gets cancer. You want some cancer too?
Dude, sure. If plastic smell is going to give me cancer, it was the day that I opened up my copy of Nexus Ops. The first edition of Nexus Ops, the plastic in that, just the fumes that came off of it was lethal. But anyway, fucking A, the fact that a monster can't even walk over a unit that's adjacent to a grappler model, like, it's insane.
That's why
the positioning, like, you can do with a grappler, right, or a grappler monster. It might be the most powerful ability in the game.
Yeah.
It's making me rethink
Deimos
9. The only problem is that every time I look at Deimos 9, I just realize that Kraken is better in every way, shape, and form, and it makes me sad inside.
I'll just nerf Kraken later.
Hooray! Defense 9. Like,
so here's the thing. Defense 9. And I talked with Oz about this a bit. We're looking at... None of this is really confirmed. This is more just things that we're looking at. It's more of... Monsterpocalypse is not meant to be an ultra-competitive game.
Sure.
It's meant to be a lot of fun and a lot of that casual fun that exists. Now, sure, our players will take it very serious and make it competitive because the game is really balanced and a lot of fun. And so something that Oz is looking at is different ways to make the game, the normal game, the way it is now, and you just leave it alone. And then the crush hour have effectively what Magic has for going first, going second, like the rules of how like Steamroller alters War Machine, the same way it would Crush Hour would alter the base game.
Yeah.
So that you wouldn't necessarily, you could play the base game and enjoy it as it is now as a completely casual type thing versus a competitive thing would be what Crush Hour would mutate it. So we're looking at that and we're looking at like the first errata FAQ sort of thing. Like it really wasn't an errata. It was more FAQ kind of based. Was to try to just clarify things,
yeah,
and to really simplify like things that were just breaking the game.
Balance wise, I think the game's actually in a really good position. There's like maybe three things, correct, like that. I think joking aside, I don't think Kraken Octus he's extremely good, but pretty much all the monsters are playable, right? Yeah. I don't think there's just a hot garbage. Like
Zor Raiden might not have as much play as
sure, but
something
he's not necessarily. Yeah, I mean, but that falls into the window of, you know, like you still could.
Yes.
You can still play Zor Raiden. He's not unplayable. Like, so the three things I would say is that Carnotrons are incredibly bad. The go first mechanic, there should be something because currently player one has an extremely strong ability. But odds, even in the keynote thing from Waco, talked about that. And like you said, that's a thing.
Yeah. Because we've talked about that.
Oh my lord, Shadow Sun Syndicate. The fact that you can come out of one that's like even secured by your opponent, they maybe should just have like teleport as an action or something.
Something different.
Because currently you can put what's the Starship Enterprise? Interceptor?
Yes.
Yeah,
Interceptor.
You can have an Interceptor come out of Zormaxum,
yep,
and move, drop a flower that moves, and then have all your monkeys just come flying through that Shadow Sun building and shoot three times out of it. You can be from one side of the board to the other with zero difficulty with those buildings. It's crazy. And Keith and I were playing, and like, I would go through my Shadow Sun to come out his and kill some guys and prevent him from securing his, and it's just crazy.
It needs to be an unsecured building is probably the way to fix that.
Or one you secure might be like...
Yeah, something
like both. Like,
and the Shadow Sun's defensive tech is already really strong.
Yeah.
I didn't realize... I thought it was strong before I realized it affected the models adjacent to it.
Yeah, it's real good against stuff that's adjacent to it. You can't kill anything that's touching
a
building.
Tanks touching a Shadow Sun building are just literally never going to die in the game.
You have to literally throw something at that building. Or Rogzord building.
I would say Shadow Sun is the most overly powerful thing. Carnotrons are the most overly weak thing. And the go first needs to be tweaked. Apart from that, I think the game's actually surprisingly balanced.
There's a couple of things with
the... But those are the A and the F in my mind.
Sure, but like the... they're accounting for this. So something in the keynote is... I think it was in the keynote or it was in one of Oz's talks about a monster that sets rebels on fire.
Sure.
Which is something I think is needed to fight the Hondos and the
Hondo Armadax. A Hondo Armadax with four Tokyo Triumphs and a shitload of repair trucks.
And you just take all
Incombustibles
and you just litter the map with it. And just it's rough for a new player. So like that's the difficulty that we're having with it is the difference between the ultra-competitive player that's literally going to break things like that, yeah. and the people that are not ultra-competitive on that kind of aspect. So you get a very wide dichotomy of players.
And yeah. My big concern with the Hondo Armadax thing is that if that is as effective as, like, Terminus 90 Mechanithralls at just clocking your opponent without even having to play,
correct.
That's never healthy.
Cause,
in either aspect.
Cause you need,
it's not fun to play against casually, correct. And it's too good for low skill in competitive. Correct.
And even if, like, if you can't win except for clocking your opponent, like, you have no win condition besides clocking your opponent, like, maybe we have to put a different win condition into the game. Yeah. Like, a VP snipe. All of a sudden, like, hey, that becomes attractive to do in that thing of, hey, I've destroyed this many buildings, you have destroyed none, get wrecked.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Yeah.
Where it's something that we need to look at.
That would also give a purpose to those numbered tokens, apart from playing the artificial intelligence scenario.
Sure.
People always ask, what are those tokens for? I'm like, well...
The scenario in the end, the back. Yeah. But yeah, so Lock and Load was a ton of fun. I enjoyed the shit ton out of it, so had a good time, got a bunch of stuff. And they got some Carnotrons.
And more importantly, in that package, there's a Robo Brontox. And there those is. Fuckers look sexy.
They are.
Is it just one? Is it just one?
Yeah,
one
it's one and three and two. Or three and one.
Yeah, one, three, one. Pretty standard spread with almost
this
all.
This one's the only one that's got the, it's 2-1-1-1.
Yeah.
Sure.
Almost all of the blister. I think that's the first blister to have three unique units amongst it.
The Destroyers, the first Planet Eater one, was Explodahawk, Destructomite.
Oh, you're right. Chomper, and then the Chomper. Three Chompers and Elite Chomper. You're right. But in general, it's it's four of a combat unit, one of which is elite, and then one support. One of the destroyer ones has which one has two of the support thing? And the meat slaves comes with two meat slaves and only three squits.
Yes,
which was very surprising to me because normally it's four and one.
I think the destroyers on whole have the weirdest blister sets. Yeah. Because I don't think protectors.
Oh, and Martians are weird too because the power they have pod the same saucers. Last one, yeah.
Because they have the hunter.
Hunter is in both of their blisters.
Yeah. So all the destroyers are the weird ones. All the protectors just have the normal 3-1-1.
Yeah, 3-1-1, 4-1, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, what's up?
Do you know if the going forward, are they actually just going to be going with metal? Or is it just a choice
it's
for the last?
Whatever material makes most sense for it.
Okay. Because I noticed that all the apes were metal. Basically, all the new stuff has been metal.
Yep.
No, I didn't know if there was a switch on that or not.
Yeah, because all the apes are metal. All the these guys are metal. I mean, all the units were.
One of my blisters open up because it's all metal because this blister's heavy.
The Carnotron
one.
The Carnotron, yeah. It's got a lot of chunks in it.
I opened up my suitcase after coming home because my suitcase was full.
There's not a lot of teeny tiny bits that would fall out or anything.
Hey, I had to find them all. I'm like, I'll just give Nathan
Andy
these ones.
You just have broken Carnotrons. Missing arms.
You know I couldn't do that.
By the way, speaking of Mom Pocket, I did contract David to program a Monster Apocalypse like War Room program.
That's cool.
You're almost done with it, right? Should be out soon.
Sure.
Yeah, he's on top of that.
Contracted with what, exposure or a legit contract?
Like a buck.
Yeah,
that's exposure.
That's
exposure.
That's exposure.
It's good enough for the Duke and Duke brothers. It's good enough for David.
Wow. You think so lightly of his skills?
I think he's a. Are you saying that being compared to the Duke brothers of Duke and Duke. Not industries. What was their corporation called?
I have no idea what you're talking
trading
about.
Trading spaces. Trading places.
Okay, yeah.
Trading places. Trading spaces was the one with the houses and they always hated it. But yeah, Trading Places, the Duke brothers.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know what you're referencing.
When you said the Duke brothers, I immediately
not
went
them
to
Duke
generally.
Boys.
Duke boys.
Yeah, I went to Duke boys as well.
Yeah. Yeah. What does the Boss Hog have to do with any of this?
They should make another Duke, like Dukes of Hazzard movie, where they're beaten by somebody with a General Grant car.
General Sherman.
Can they throw a chocolate?
Yeah.
Can they throw a concrete
General Sherman
shake at
them? Just a fucking bulldozer.
Yeah, just bulldozes up their entire town and then sets the rubble on fire. And then the General Grant just donuts over their graves.
So something that just clicked for me. So they're complaining about concrete being mixed with the shakes, the milkshakes.
Yeah, based entirely on one cop that went, man, this shake seemed a little thick. Oh, well, that's literally 100% where it came from.
So,
wait, what?
So my thought, I don't really care about like the semantics of the game, the arguments of the politics on that, like because I think we're all in agreement on our side.
Yeah, Nazis are bad, throw milkshakes at
correct.
Them. And then throw bricks.
But my point is, Culver's gives concrete mixers.
Yeah.
So if I throw a concrete mixer, am I really throwing concrete at them?
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, that's what matters. The word.
That's where my brain just went on that.
That's. So. I mean, that's what the other Nazis will accuse you of.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Also, fuck Nazis.
They can legally say no. Don't fuck them. They don't deserve it.
In the other form,
you don't want to make it easier for them to reproduce.
Right.
They're already doing that. Plenty on their own.
But they can see, if you throw a Culver's concrete mixer at them, they can legally say, like, it wasn't ice cream. You can't say you threw ice cream at them. They're like, it was concrete, not ice cream, officer. And if it's, like, an out-of-towner, they'll be confused. And
like someone not from the Midwest?
Yeah. It'll legally be accurate that you did not throw ice cream and you did throw concrete.
They have Culver's everywhere now.
Yeah, Culver's. They have
Have they gone out of the Midwest completely?
Oh, yeah. I know that there's one in Arizona because I've heard people talk about how they have to line up. Basically, when the cheese curd order comes in to that Culver's, there's like a line that goes on for it. They just sell out like within hours.
And so speaking of locals knowing something's overrated, like as Sugar Fire is to St. Louis barbecue, Culver's is to cheese curds.
Yes. Sure.
Yeah. It is a passable thing. It's like, I don't want fries today. I think I'm going to have some cheese curds. But if you want cheese curds, you go down to the fucking Old Fashioned in Madison, Wisconsin, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which I believe has been voted as having the top cheese curds in Wisconsin.
I will say that the Old Fashioned is overrated, but you can just like walk down the block and go to Lucille or the Tipsy Cow.
Cow's got great cheese curds and burgers and the worst service on the planet.
Yeah, I can see that.
But yeah. It's almost like they're doing it on purpose because it's been true for so long. But yeah.
Also, Tipsy Cow has cheddar cheese curds and goat cheese curds, and you can get both of them. Ooh. And both of them are excellent, and they are distinct. So there's a reason to get both of them. So yeah.
Goat cheese.
No Wisconsinite seriously thinks Culver's has particularly good cheese curds. Yeah, they're passable.
If they're fresh out of the oil, they're not bad.
As a Wisconsin restaurant, they're legally obligated to have cheese curds as an option. And so, you know, they're there for you.
Sure.
What are we going for, Travis?
I'm a double segue.
Yes.
So I was asked today.
Like one on each foot?
Sure. So I was asked today when ATC was going to happen. And I couldn't answer them because they answered. They're like, I want to know when ATC is going on. And I want to get cheese curds.
WITC?
No, ATC.
Oh, we're going beyond. Okay.
But that lets me segue into WITC because that's the prize for going to WITC is get a free trip to ATC.
Correct.
For the participants.
Unless
of
I missed
winners.
A memo, we're not announcing ATC.
Correct.
I was like, wait a second. That's why I missed a memo.
That's why I had to pull it back and say, no, we're not doing that yet. Yeah. I have no announcement yet. We have no announcement. I didn't have it because he directly contacted me. So WITC is happening August 24th at the Elks Lodge in Waukesha, Wisconsin.
WITC.
I can slap you every time you do that.
WITC.
I could slap you too, or I could slap him for you.
WITC.
What? No!
So it's a registration's open. Go to atcwmh.com for information. It is, what did we decide on? $60 a player? $60
a team.
$60, $20 a player.
Yep. Wow, that is surprisingly cheap.
We reduced the
price. Mm-hmm. Lunch and dinner, but no breakfast is what lunch we're going
and
dinner, for.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, we're limiting it to 16 teams right now. Mm-hmm. That's really to fit the timing of the event for one day.
To make it a one-day event, yeah.
Correct. Yep. And so we're doing 16 teams for WITC because we've historically had 16-ish teams every time. So making that really simple on that. And there's a couple of teams, like I know that people are just busy as well. But the registration, I forget which days the registration goes to. So I recommend registering quick and soon because I forget exactly when it goes until. But it's going to be a great event. We've already got three teams signed up, and it should be just a ton of fun to come hang out and have a great time. Nathan runs a pretty damn good event for us, and the Elks Lodge is pretty awesome in terms of food and alcohol, if you so wish to partake.
The alcohol is cheap and plentiful.
That is entirely true.
It's entirely true. Yeah,
and it was a Pokemon rest stop when so it's probably a wizard station or whatever they're called in that fucking thing. that all you kids today are playing now.
Sure.
Yeah. Jim says Nashville has Culver's. Yes. So the first Culver's I ever went to was in Kentucky because I lived there when they moved, when Culver's opened stores in Kentucky, and it is all down the southeast and most of the west too. So
WITC, the reg is done by August 7th and then list submissions by the 9th. So
it's not posted up on the site yet either, but
so
how
I
do
that pretty far out. I'm surprised I have that far out.
So the WITC is going to be using Oblivion rules.
Correct. Right? It's got all the new Oblivion changes in it.
Okay. So then the list lock is a week after all that comes out, if it's the 8th.
I have the list lock on the 12th, but that's...
it's 2 weeks before the event.
It's a week after Gen Con was the base logic on it, because everything should come out at Gen Con. We might push that back a week because we have a week of time that's still between there, because I didn't realize that. Looking at it now, I'm like, there's 12 days between list lock and when the event is.
Yeah, given how much stuff in the War Machine world.
We'll push it back a week. I didn't realize that the dates were that tight in the beginning, because I took the old ones and just kind of mutated them.
And you looked at them and went, oh!
Yeah. No. No. Because I hate that word. So we'll probably move those dates back. We might give it an extra week for registration. We'll see. Or you just might reg it still on the 7th and then just push it a week for the list block. Mm-hmm. But it's going to use all new Oblivion rules and all new Theme Force changes and plus whatever errata comes out on Oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
The Infernal models that you might have from Gen Con that have not come out yet for Street Date are not legal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's Street Date legality for models.
Yep.
Just
so
that'll be enforced. They'll be enforced correctly on list submission.
Yeah,
sad for me because, my gate is still not legal.
No rigging.
It's
no
rigging. Not like the gate's important to the faction.
Not
or
at all.
Yeah. How many events did I have to play with Convergence without a corollary?
However, so I played a game today, and both Nick. So Nick is worried that my now 17-0 record with Infernals is an issue. I'm like, I've been playing the stuff that's released in July. Like, I haven't been playing the weird stuff yet. I only played Agathon. So at Lock and Load, I played with whatever was at Lock and Load. So I played basically up through September releases at Lock and Load because everything was there. And then I've been playing with only July releases or July plus Army Box releases for the last little while, because I want to prep for the Milwaukee event in, I think, 2 weeks. And so, like, you are playing down real hard, and the game is much more difficult when you don't have all your cool toys.
So number one, that's a sign that it's fair and balanced. And number two, to the chat, I was just natural. I don't think that was a callback. It was not a callback, was it, Travis?
For what?
When you said, yeah, no, in response to me saying, oh.
No, it's just natural.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
But it was a perfect callback built in.
Right. So I think for this podcast now, we will pronounce the abbreviation of overpowered OP as OP.
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 Oh, you hurt me so much.
Travis is playing Infernos. OP.
You literally just wounded me.
OP.
Ow.
Crippled system. Flip bad table. For the soul.
Travis, there's a question for you that you have to figure out by reading it. Go on.
Yeah. Well, I was going to add on to the WITC. So Nathan's going to be running the normal WITC with the 16 teams. I didn't want to get hit. And so
Every time you say it's hitting him.
You. Oh, so okay. So Nathan's going to be running the WITC proper. I am going to be running.
You merely adopted the pronunciation. I was born to it.
Let him get his announcement out. I'm going to slap you harder.
Yeah, because he has everyone saying WITC.
Sorry, Andy.
It hurts so good.
It's fine.
No, you do your thing.
Shut up.
No, it's fine.
Bane, let Andy talk.
Travis can abuse Nathan while you're talking. It's okay.
I want to hear it, Andy.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't. I can truly say you don't want to hear it.
Andy, Infernals are way too OP, so I'm thinking about stopping playing War Machine and playing Guild Ball at the WITC. How much would it cost me to do such a thing?
I am going to be running an actual tournament for Guild Ball at the WITC, so we're going to be playing alongside all the War Machine Hordes players. It's the entry fee is going to be $20, so it's basically the same thing.
Same per person. Yeah.
Same per person. But what that also covers, that covers for lunch and dinner. So. Is it lunch and dinner, or the
coverage is not that entry is just
lunch and dinner will be available. Now this is speaking to our tournament. Sure. I'm not sure how much you want to charge your Guild Ball players, but that is a thing worth stressing because maybe it wasn't clear enough when we said that lunch and dinner will be available on site, and they make damned good food.
Okay,
but that is not included in the price.
Okay,
at least for the War Machine hordes. I don't know about Guild Ball.
Sure.
I'm not sure what expenses you have for your Guild Ball tournament. We obviously have to pocket that money so we can put it towards more and better improvements for the ATC because the WITC is still a fundraising tournament. We got lots of fat mats to talk to you about later on.
So,
it's $20 per person. Whether or not that includes food is to be announced at a future date.
We'll put something on the ATC WMH webpage for this so that we have something clarified for sure. I didn't understand what you are all including in that question.
No, that's no problem. I've been sick for like the past 3 weeks, so it's been annoying. So I will get something up there on the ATC page.
Is it just planned on just a regular Guild Ball tournament or a team?
Just a standard Guild Ball tournament. I mean, if we might get enough interest in it, then maybe running a team tournament, but I don't know if we have enough exact space for it. I know we have enough space to run a straight Guild Ball tournament.
Perfect.
And I don't think we really need to worry about setting a limit for it. But
no, I don't think so. Because even so, in my plan, so this, kind of just planning this out on live, we would be in the normal like laminated floor area
that we've always been in.
Yep.
You'd be on the carpeting, and then overflow would just go into the bar.
Yeah.
Oh, true.
Like we could run your tournament entirely in the bar if we really wanted to.
I would much rather be in the bar.
Well, sure, because you are literally just going to sit there chugging blind Russians out of one of those like caps with the straws. You'll have two blind Russians there, and you'll be passed out.
Camelback.
So,
Camelback.
So this is going to be one of the selling points of the Guild Ball event, is that you can get bar service at your game table.
If they're in the bar. Oh, my goodness.
Like, we could just run your event in the bar.
If you haven't been to the Elks Lodge, their drinks are very strong and very large and very cheap.
Yeah, they make drinks for veterans.
Like, so you'll order a hard drink, like a blind Russian, which if you don't know is a white Russian, where you take the only non-alcoholic ingredient and replace it with more alcohol, and they will serve it in a glass this big for, like, $6. It's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you will get your money's worth if you are an alcohol drinker.
Yeah, because was it John and an opponent? Because someone, I think it was you or Casey or someone was, Danielle, someone was streaming. Their go first role on their teams was whoever could chug like 4 or 5 shots faster or take 4 or 5shots faster.
Yep. They did shots to go first instead of rolling for it.
So lots of fun shenanigans that happen at good shenanigans.
Yeah.
Unlike
a whole bunch of crazy crap on the walls.
Correct.
Yeah, there's not a whole bunch of crazy crap on the walls. There's an elk's head, and that's about it.
There's
so like license plates and shit.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And a lot of pictures of old white.
And also, it's hilarious because they have the Elks Lodge staff that has no real conception of not only what we're doing, but why we would want to do it, but think we're really cool because we're nice people.
Correct. Like, they are super impressed with us as human beings.
Yeah.
And it's really weird to, like, to get that kind of compliment at a convention. It's like, what? Like, what? And, like,
but yeah, they're so interested in the concept. Yeah. It's like same thing at, like, the ATC. All the hotel staff would be, like, looking at the game and, like, the last day of the most recent ATC, I was watching one of the gentlemen who helped set up our tables explaining to like a room service person how the game played, because now he was an old pro at it.
Yeah, because he's seen it for 2 years.
Was it the
one guy that always sets up tables? Yeah. I think it's Jerome or something like that.
And so he was explaining it some way. He's like, yeah, so you see, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, you're like a press ganger at this point. Good job.
That is cool that when we had that kind of rapport that you get that pushback on it. Yeah,
we're good folks.
Like, I'm super excited excited for WITC. I'm excited to see who all shows up, and I'm excited to get to play in it again. So,
I am excited for it. And I've said on the podcast before, and I'll say it again, I absolutely love the War Machine community because I have played in other gaming communities, and I have traveled across multiple state lines to play War Machine, and I have enjoyed the company of everyone I have met to play War Machine. And when I was traveling to play 40K, the typical person I met while I was crossing state lines to play 40K, I would not piss on if they were on fire. And there's a remarkable difference, and I absolutely love the War Machine
community. As a local, I'll point out that he did stress that he enjoyed everyone that he met traveling. He did not say that the people he did not travel were people he enjoyed. I'm fully aware of what he means by that. He hates Keith Christensen.
That's why they're on the team, so they don't have to play each other.
Correct.
I see your play.
Oh, did Dave just text him, Keith?
No, I will say that that is why I recruited Nicholas Cooperi for my team.
Yeah.
Because in my history of team events, I have lost 4 games, and 2 of them were to Nick.
Sure.
And so I figured that if I could take him out of the pool, it would drastically improve our team's team's chance of winning.
Really, any time you have to play against Nick, you should consider it a loss of like precious lifetime.
No, it's not. No, I'm going to defend Nick on this. Yeah. I enjoyed playing my
games.
How
dare you defend Nick? Con.
I like Nick. Nick is a little
He's
loud.
A vocal. And I'm allowed to be mean to him.
Nick can be loud, and that grates on some people, but Nick's a nice guy, and I enjoy playing with him and strategizing with him.
Absolutely. Like, there's levels of everyone. Like, you've got your own idiosyncrasies.
Why are you defending him against an obvious joke by someone who considers him a friend? You morons. You're morons. Now defend each other because I called you morons.
Because we're the straight guys of the show.
Yes.
And Nathan's the Pride straight Month jacket guy of the show.
Oh! Hey! I'm made funny.
Nathan, and so we're both engineers.
I thought you were just, because it was LGBTQ.
We're engineers. That's how this works.
That's true.
I don't think we can turn this off.
I use sarcasm in between a Vulcan and a Romulan.
Have I still sent you the most bug reports for Conflict Chamber out of everyone?
Yes.
It's not only that, but your bug reports are the best because they're like reproduction steps and screenshots and stuff, and it's like, okay, it's like I know exactly what's going on and I can fix this.
Oh, so the my favorite one right now is really annoying to me is the text goes on to the next lines.
Yeah.
I'm like, here's the list, print this and look at this line.
Yeah, there's one other guy that's a QA engineer that I get bug reports
that's
from
awesome.
In the same format. It's like I know what you do for a living.
Yes, you can tell. Hi, buddy.
Oh, listeners, it's that hot bug reporting action you all tune in for.
Hi, buddy.
Oh yeah, sexy talk bug reports to me, baby.
Nathan, time for a shotgun tangent.
Yo. Oh my lord. Oh here, I have a shotgun tangent that'll be nice and controversial.
Really?
I'll uncontroversial it by saying I don't want to discuss the controversial part, but then I'm going to discuss the less controversial follow-up to the controversial part.
Okay.
So once upon a time, I was watching a TV show, and I posted on Facebook that such and such character was my spirit animal. So a bunch of people jumped on my throat about how it's racist as a white person to use the term spirit animal,
because
I'm culturally appropriating Native American people.
Sure.
So let's step back for a second and not debate whether that's a thing.
Sure.
That would be the controversial thing that let's not discuss.
Sure.
Those people recommended that instead, so I'm going to say they're right. In this conversation, they are correct. It's cultural appropriation.
Yeah. So let's not
do
that.
Those people said instead you should call it your Patronus from Harry Potter.
Sure.
Here's the thing. Just because some rich white person culturally appropriated and then gave it a different word doesn't make it not spirit animal. It's like if all the white wizards wore cornrows but called them muggle hair, it's still fucking cornrows. You can't just use a made-up term and one step remove it. That's still fucking spirit animal. It's still fucking cultural appropriation just because she slapped a made-up label on it. So fuck you. If I'm going to culturally appropriate, I'll at least be open about it. That's my shotgun tangent. Anybody hiding behind the word Patronus is really fucking missing the point. Because you're still culturally appropriating.
But
just because she used a different word for it doesn't excuse
it. Latin makes it white.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's fine.
So, trying to rationalize, a British woman, how does she culturally appropriate from Native Americans?
She has spirit animals. But in the books, instead of having them be called spirit animals, they call them a Patronus.
Sure.
That is so still...
The spirit animal thing has crossed boundaries enough that it's not an American problem for spirit animal.
Correct.
It's a worldwide
So
cultural appropriation.
If you did a control H for Patronus and replaced every single example of Patronus in the book with spirit animal, it changes nothing.
Sure.
So don't tell me that that makes it better. It's identical. You're just hiding behind a white person using a different word.
Sure. No, I can agree with that logic.
So
yeah.
Now, if you don't think using the term spiritual animal is cultural appropriation because the concept of a spirit animal is found in all cultures around the globe going all the way back. So as a white person, I could say, well, I'm part Irish and the Celts had spirit animals or maybe they blah, blah, blah. Sure. You can have that debate. But once you've landed on claiming it is cultural appropriation because in modern history, yeah. It's more directly referring to Native Americans who sure. have been subjugated, blah, blah, blah. Then just don't fucking use any version of the term, including the one that she made up.
Because like,
also, she's a TERF. Fuck her.
No. Sure.
A what?
A TERF.
TERF.
Trans-exclusionary radical feminist.
Oh.
I'm going to jump past that.
People like that.
Isn't?
Women's rights, but only real women. You're a man in drag. Yeah, fuck off with that shit.
Sorry, Travis. Shotgun tangent.
Is,
I didn't realize that's what the shotgun was for.
ending me, yes. Is like the Chinese ancestor animals or your zodiac?
So that's
zodiac?
The problem with this debate, right? That's the problem is as an American, it's easy to just look at
a whole bunch of different cultures and be like, they do this, 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 and this, and
sure.
this.
Yeah, like, so there is a huge rabbit hole debate there about what cultures actually have spirit animals and thus are allowed. But then the counterpoint is, well, we all know that you're really referring to XYZ. You know, XYZ. Mm. So that's a really sticky conversation to have, and that's why I skipped over it to just say, even if you come to point X, point Y is fucking bullshit.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think any of us are – oops, sorry. I don't think any of us are disagreeing. I hate you so much.
Oh, sorry.
I don't think any of us are disagreeing with that second premise.
Right.
I think I'm getting stuck on the first premise. Yeah.
The first premise is the people who get upset when you use spirit animal, they believe that in general, when an American white person says spirit animal, they are taking from indigenous American native people's culture and sure. appropriating that terminology. Mm-hmm. They don't think that when I say spirit animal, I'm thinking of the Chinese zodiac.
Sure.
Or I'm thinking of my Celtic ancestry, or I'm thinking of South African, you know, whatever. They think I'm thinking of totem poles and shamans.
Sure. It also probably goes with if somebody from China had, you know, saw your conversation about spirit animal, it would be a different meaning to them as well.
Somebody in chat, fuck you. Fuck you, riddle me flash.
So it's a weird conversation. I think one of the ones that kind of struck me as kind of dumb was somebody was saying using the word tribe is cultural appropriation from the natives when tribe is
one's double dumb.
Yeah, because tribe comes from Latin because it is the word that the Romans used to identify a social grouping in Roman culture that later in English we use the Latin word to describe similar social arrangements in other groups.
And we were using that term in English before we even like came to North America and discovered the indigenous tribes.
Yeah, the word tribe is used in European writings for at least 2,500 years, and that's just because.
So that one's doubled up.
Yeah.
So, as
we were skipping the first point because it was too controversial, Travis.
I know, but my brain keeps latching on it. So there's.
Did my description at least make
it
sense?
It did.
Then
it
hooray.
Does. Like, I'm not going to sit there and argue the points on it. It's more of the. As a white male. Basically. as a white ethnicity in America, what. Like, is there a defined list of cultures that we have that are not appropriating from other cultures?
No. No, so that's also part of the issue.
Because like, another part of the issue define is that's also, not.
Yeah. Yeah. And another part of the issue is the difference between cultural appropriation and cultural appreciation.
Yeah.
You know? Like
the whole I think it was a Kardashian that did it of the trademarking geisha outfits in America.
Sure.
That's
appropriation.
That would definitely be appropriation because not only and mm-hmm. well, another. I think a big part of why they focus on the Native Americans and whatnot, and this part thing is something that exacerbates cultural appropriation is if the person using whatever aspect is a member of the group that subjugated and had power over the other group.
Sure. Yeah.
So a black man cannot appropriate culture from a white man.
Correct.
Because the black culture never had power over white culture. I mean, unless you go way back and consider like Egyptians over Jews.
Sure.
And whatnot. But as far as modern American history and whatnot.
From our history. Right. Correct.
So a black person can straighten their hair.
Yep.
I shouldn't put on cornrows.
Correct.
Because their ancestors didn't beat my ancestors.
Sure.
Right? And so that's the issue. And that's one thing that people stick to a lot there.
Sure.
So
I can get behind that as a base premise. Because it's also the thing that always got me is the societal racism that you don't realize is racism because you're just born into it. So it took until I was in high school, I think high school or college, to realize that gypped was racist.
Right.
Yeah.
And not realize that it was racist. And it's like, oh, wait, really? And once you realize it, like, oh, shit. Because there's
hilariously, Scotch tape is literally the exact same racism. They just trademarked it.
Oh, shit.
It specifically was named because the inventor was like, I want something to depict it being really cheap. I'll call it Scotch tape. 100% accurate source of the name of that tape.
Wow.
It's just a racist as fuck term.
I know. Never. That's the thing that always gets me is like that shock when you realize.
I understand that because I have made an effort over the last 10 or 15 years to modify my vocabulary to take out words like that.
Correct.
And there's a word and its derivatives that I seriously miss, and that is hysteria, because the word hysteria etymologically, basically means overly emotional, as if one had a uterus.
Yes, because it was mainly about women.
Hysterectomy. It's the same.
Yep.
And hysteria, I used to like the word.
On the bright side, that's why women who were having emotional problems would go to the doctor and he would just give her a vibrator because they thought orgasming cured those mental issues because of where it all came from there.
Yeah.
So that's the bright side is that instead of therapy, they just got finger fucked and that's,
raped.
If my therapist, I guess that's true.
It's effectively raped.
Once they knew, they went to the doctor specifically to have that done, so it's almost more prostitution.
Sure, but it's still bad. But yeah,
it's still bad.
I knew hysteria had that root, but I never really thought about it as almost like a sexism term at that point. Like that, we are so used to ingrained society things that we don't the whole aspect of, Jurassic Park is where my mind comes from. This is you built upon it, and because you've learned it, you just keep learning that new stuff, but you never really learned the root of what that comes from, unless you're really that introspective of yourself of why do I feel these things? Why do I say these words? Why do I know these words? You don't really think about that very often of how did this word come into being and should you use it or shouldn't you?
No.
The weird one to me, not to just keep listing stereotypical and offensive terms on the podcast, but the weird one to me that for some reason was never used where I grew up, but apparently was used everywhere else. I didn't learn it until I was 30 until I didn't understand a Family Guy reference.
Sure.
Because growing up, no one ever used the term Jew to haggle. I had never heard that one until I was 30.
Hmm.
So luckily, that's not in my vocabulary at all and doesn't have to be eliminated. I dodged a bullet with that one.
You see, I'm from the South, so I am aware of all of these terms for hating anybody that is not a white Protestant.
That's true.
Because
I did live in and around Skokie, so it wasn't going to come up a lot.
That's the thing that you don't really realize. You're like, oh, I didn't realize that a whole bunch of words were just bad words that are plainly racist. And it's like, holy cow, why are these people so racist?
Yeah.
And it's there's I think it's Roots is the pop song where they say gypsy. And I'm like, do they not know that's a racist term?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's one of the things. Laura Marling's Devil Spoke is one of my absolute favorite songs, but it uses it has the word gyp in it, and it annoys me.
Every time I hear it.
I pushed back so hard against Gaston's guns. When Gaston came Gypsy's out and kiss. I saw the guns, I was like, ugh.
I'm glad they switched out to Soul Reaver.
Punchy Robots. Pacific Rim at least spelled it with a different vowel so that they could try to get around it.
But Gypsy's Kiss was literally spelled
wrong.
Yeah,
wrong in
Yes, it was spelled
correctly in the wrong context. Because why would that word ever make it into the Iron Kingdoms? Yeah, like that doesn't exist.
I had a Facebook memory a couple weeks ago from a post I made that I thought was very clever that I'd forgotten about until the memory came up, which was I said that a gypsy woman punished me, or a gypsy woman cursed me as punishment for using derogatory terms for the Roma people.
So my thought process train before you kind of derail a little bit is in... So is it... this can combine both topics now. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so we can segue back to the topic that Andy isn't uncomfortable about.
Is cultural appropriation in Iron Kingdoms...
Oh, that one would still be
in Bug Reports?
In Iron Kingdoms.
And Bug Reports?
No.
Oh. No, we're skipping Bug Reports.
So, like, can you culturally appropriate, like, subsections for, like, derogatory terms for them into a fantasy setting and not have it be either weird cultural appropriation or weird racism?
Yeah, no, that's going to be bad.
Well, I mean, if you take the word gypsy into the Iron Kingdoms, you have to be able to bring it as to pretending that it is just a word that means an itinerant and not without the
you have to remove social the context settings, of
but
the social.
You can't do that,
right? So, you can't do that. Like, so if you're going to bring that term into there, you're either A, going to use it to describe a group of people in the fictional realm that is similar to the group of people in the real realm, in which case that is problematic.
Yep.
Or you're going to use it to describe a group of people that isn't similar to the group of people in the real realm, in which case, why are you using that word?
Yep.
And it's still going to be connotative. So now it's quote-unquote inaccurate and still offensive.
Sure.
Because you just can't.
Because this is getting back to the point of, like, as a person that doesn't know what their culture is, because, like, I couldn't identify American culture by anything. Like, we're such a juxtaposition of everything that, like, you can't really be like, sure, not jackrabbits. What's the rabbit with antlers on it?
Jackalope.
Sure. That was close.
Yeah, jackalopes.
But, like, those kind of myths, we can take, but, like, what else is there beyond that? Because there's really nothing.
Yeah, it's weird. It's difficult. Just because, like you said, America's such a melting pot, and what's the difference between melting and appropriating? And, like, the issue is who's bringing it. Like, if someone's bringing it to you versus if you're taking it.
Well, when I moved from Kentucky to New York, I had a mechanism for identifying what was actual Southern culture.
Sure.
And that was when I described what my family was like growing up. And if somebody said, oh, I thought that was a black thing, it's Southern culture.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
That was also, I mean, also living in upstate New York was a profoundly racist part of the country, and that I literally saw more Confederate flags in upstate New York than living in a part of the country that was part of the Confederacy.
It is amazing how much rural America has adapted the Confederacy.
Yeah. Like, yeah,
Binghamton,
Binghamton, New York is a place where I saw a guy with a fullback swastika tattoo getting out of his truck flying two Confederate flags, and yeah.
No. No. Did he get out of his truck and immediately get hit by a bus? Just tell me yes. Just say yes. Just
sure.
Yes. Happy ending to the story.
But yeah, as it turns out, most of the things that are just poor Southern, a lot of Northerners have the stereotype that it's black and not.
Well, that probably
Southern.
Has a lot to do with the after the Civil War, the mass
exodus.
Oh yeah,
to the
that's,
North. And that's why 99% of stereotypical, like, black foods are just picnic food, because they brought it with them to the North, and the Northerners had never had a goddamn picnic.
Yeah, I mean so much of stereotypical black food is also Southern food.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah,
that's where they come from. No, I mean, this is one of the things that's interesting is that my native dialect is Southern, and you might not have been aware of that.
No, I don't know why.
I noticed that if I am talking to somebody who speaks African American vernacular English, I code switch into Southern very easily, subconsciously, because the dialects are so similar.
It just works.
Saying, the people fleeing on the Underground Railroad weren't bringing the fish boil with them.
Yeah.
So. Question on cultural appropriation.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Andy continues to be happy about this tangent.
So
we're being good, Andy.
I'm about to take the shotgun retirement.
Okay.
So
just be careful. Don't ass face.
So Dark Legacy is the English version of my username.
Yeah.
Nikur Azu is specifically the Japanese version of that set of words.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Is that cultural appropriation?
No.
Okay.
Is Nikkurizu a Japanese concept or is it just a translation?
It's just a direct dictionary translation for dark and legacy.
Yeah.
At worst, that's a cultural appreciation because you're like, I like the way the Japanese sounds. Yes. I enjoy that. And here's a little thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you like are dressing like a samurai and pretending to be a part of that culture.
Sure. A dark that's very samurai. Different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
With the legacy.
Like, yeah.
Is he also dank?
No. Why would you even bring that up?
You're not Dank Legacy.
No, yeah. I'm not.
Wow, we should IP ban you for impersonating Ethan.
Hey, Ethan did a pretty damn good job.
That was fucking masterful.
Ethan got
the fact that he was careful to make sure to always correctly answer, so he technically was doing nothing wrong.
And he copied my profile to the point where I got texted by another Infernal. Why did you answer this way? What do you mean? I'm like, wait, what? That's when he got banned.
Yeah. That's that person's fault for being confused. Everything he was doing was correct and good.
Yeah. Ethan's pulled a good one. That was pretty impressive. I was impressed by it.
Yeah.
There's a level of appreciation where you just take the icon and the name, and that's all you take. And then, like, all of a sudden I started looking deeper. I'm like, the signature's the same.
Yeah.
The birth date, the city, everything. Like, he went
He's
to the profile.
He's hanging out in the rules forum answering questions. Correct.
Like, it was... to the point of one of the best trolls that have ever been done to me. So,
moving on.
Or knowing somebody who runs Conflict Chamber to change a released theme force.
I didn't even notice that right off the bat.
Did you notice it
was Dark Legacy until someone said Dank. All right, I didn't notice until Dank until someone said something to me.
They did it the second time?
I'm not going to sit there and watch Conflict Chamber every single moment. They can change it whenever they want. And they
it's
can
up
change
right
it
now.
Back. Whatever.
All we have to do is just like wink at David and he can get it done.
My paranoia
is... he's busy making my Monster War Room app.
My paranoia is not high enough to care about that. I just want the bugs fixed. There, now I came back to the bugs.
I feel bad about that because at some point my email forwarding just fucking broke and I have no idea why. I think I probably should pay more than $5 a month for web hosting.
Oh, don't worry. ATC's webpage was hacked for how long? Did we not notice it?
Well, when I started getting notifications from DreamHost telling me that we are going to shut down your entire hosting because this site is shit.
Why didn't I get any notifications? Like, none of my goddamn notifications. Well, not the Dream, because the actual, like,
ATC,
GoDaddy and everything
ATC
never
got
me
pages.
Anything.
No,
yeah.
ATC
never got
anything. Never no, got they, any? They're not going to care about that.
Yeah.
All I'm doing is paying them for the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Assholes.
You're paying GoDaddy for a name, but it doesn't matter. Yeah, no.
Danica Patrick lied to me.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, I had taken a long time to restore the site.
It was like 6 to 8 months.
Well, no, the thing is, yeah, and then I had to scrub the database and basically relearn my PHP from the beginning.
I had to Wayback Machine ATC's webpage to figure out what it looked like because I'm like, this doesn't look anything like what I'm used to, and I don't remember what it looked like, so I had to look back. That's why I was asking for the permissions because I was like, this page doesn't look right. I know it's not right. I need to fix it.
It couldn't have been 8 months because it looked okay at the ATC.
It was okay past the ATC.
Yeah.
After the ATC is when it broke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
It was a while.
Obviously, nobody goes to it, so.
Not outside of the events.
Yeah. Correct.
You
know. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was actually affecting Crippled Systems. So once in a while, suddenly Crippled Systems, because it was affecting the entire hosting plan, Crippled System would not publish an episode.
So that's where you're having issues with that for so long.
Yep. Gotcha. Suddenly our site would just be, it would just turn off. It would just turn off the hosting because of compromises on some of the other hosting.
I had an announcement. God damn it.
Well, I would like to get going home because I have steaks waiting for me at home soon.
Why did you come all the way here and not hang out with us at Hoo Hot? You could have had steaks yesterday or tomorrow.
Yeah.
I could have had steaks yesterday. My apologies. My wife did not make steaks yesterday. She's making steaks tonight.
Well, why didn't you politely request that she not do it today?
Because I want steaks.
Fuck you. You want steaks more than you want to hang out with us at Hoo Hot. That's hurtful. We can go to Hoo Hot, and then when you leave Hoo Hot and go home, you can have steaks after. Anyway, quick announcement. What? Really? But then we still have to do Zappity Grumbles and recommendations.
Let's go snap to it.
There's like only one Zappity Grumble. Anyway.
There's two. There's one higher up. My quick recommendation. No, not recommendation. Fuck you. My quick announcement is that the Twilight Inferium is happening at the Warfare Week. No, Twilight Inferium.
Inferium.
Twilight Inferium. Okay. If they're going to change to Warfare Weekend, we're going to change to Twilight Inferium.
Okay.
With an extra E at the end. Anyway, it's a Twilight.
Inferium-y?
No, the E is silent.
If you put it on there, it's going to be Inferium-y.
No, it's like Ope. You don't pronounce the E at the end of Ope, and we all say Ope constantly. Ope! Anyway. Twilight Inferium is going to be at the Warfare Weekend. We've discussed the format before, but it's posted on their Facebook. It's posted on our Facebook. It's by ours, I mean Twilight Inferium's Facebook. Maybe I'll share it to Crippled System. Registration will be opening up soon when Warfare Weekend opens up registration for side events. But it is a Twilight Imperium tournament that'll be going. The qualification rounds will be Friday and Saturday. There'll be two rounds each day, and the championship will be Sunday. I won't go into the details of the format here because Travis has to get home to eat his steaks. But the key thing is that you can play in as few as one round and be into the finals. It is not a bracket event. You do not have to devote your weekend to doing nothing but Twilight Imperium, although multiple people have texted me and telling me that they're coming specifically for it and will be doing nothing but playing in Twilight Imperium, so I'm happy about that. But the point is, we'll discuss more later when Travis isn't in a hurry, but Twilight Inferium is happening. It's confirmed. It'll be at Warfare Weekend.
Also, cool. Another announcement, Crippled System is going to be sponsoring the painting competition over at
And Crippled Warfare System Weekend. Is sponsoring Twilight Inferium.
Yes.
Well done, guys. You made it big.
Well, we made it so we didn't have to be paid.
Yeah. pretty much. Yeah.
Crippled System has to pay us for our time. Yes. Warfare Weekend does not have to pay us for our time. I will discuss my income with the people who run Crippled System to make sure that as I'm representing them, I am paid fairly.
Yeah.
Anyway, Zappity Grumble.
Somebody else can read.
Okay, how good or bad will Episode 9 be? Will it hamper or uplift the new following movies? I have no idea, because they have been kind of all over the place with 7 and 8, and I'm not necessarily sure that's a bad thing, but I thought 7 was pretty good, and 8 was pretty good. And
7 is my favorite of the films outside the original three, by far. Crushes all the prequels, crushes Rogue One, crushes 8. I like it better than Solo, although Solo might be my second favorite of the non-original trilogy.
I haven't seen Solo, but I like 8 more than 7.
Solo is shockingly good. I'm sure you were probably scared away by all the hate. It is actually surprising.
I know. I just haven't
favorite,
seen it.
Yeah, and that's fine.
My favorite quote about Solo is it came from the Kevin Smith podcast, and Mark Benardi, who's his partner on that podcast, had basically summed up Solo as aggressively. I'm messed up on the wording on it, but it was aggressively appropriate, just
Star Wars.
Yeah, it was just
aggressively okay.
Yes.
Aggressively mediocre.
I thought, as I said when I first saw Solo, and said I thought it was a pretty decent movie. I know a lot of people were going to hate it because what a lot of people seem to miss from the original series is that Han Solo is an idiot. And
yes.
He's lucky. That, yes. I mean, that he
is the embodiment of luck going through a lot of things.
Yes. Yeah. But I mean, he is an idiot, and like every opportunity he had to do anything other than scam somebody, he did it poorly. And even when he scammed people, he did it poorly half the time.
Well,
too.
He scammed people poorly
like
in 7.
How lucky was he that Greedo missed when Greedo shot first before he ever shot?
I mean, that was one of the things I loved about 7 is that Solo goes back to a smuggler, and we find out that A, that since he's always been an idiot, he was never really that good at smuggling, and B, he's off his game anyway, so of course he's going to fuck it up. But I mean, Solo was kind of appropriate because, yes, it turns out that when he was young, he was even more of an idiot than he was after he had survived a few of his mistakes.
Also, it has Childish Gambino in it, and I love Childish Gambino.
The only issue I had with Solo was, and again, this is also brought up in that same podcast, was that Solo, how he acted in there, you know he has a heart of gold in there, but in Episode 4, you didn't know that he had a heart of gold. You just thought he was just, you know, he's just a scum, and he's just going to leave, and he's just, you know, whatever, you can go take on the Death Star. And then when he shows up, and you're like, oh, fuck, this is amazing.
but kind of ruins that part.
Well, one could say that keeping spoilers somewhat to a not huge thing, even though it's been out for a long time, and Travis will say he doesn't care.
I already know this end of it.
But in theory, people listen to our podcast, and somebody complained about me ruining Clegane Bowl. But he kind of is punished for trusting people in Solo. So one could see that after that movie, he would no longer be as outward with his heart of gold.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure, okay.
Because of the way things happen with multiple people in that movie at the end of that movie.
That's why he's making sure he's getting his money.
Yeah, he's jaded.
He needs his money now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, as far as Nine goes, I will say I have liked all of the Disney era Star Wars movies, and Nine we should see a completion to Kylo Ren's character arc, and I think Kylo Ren is the most interesting character in Star Wars since
you don't
Darth
have to say
Vader.
Since Kylo Ren is the most interesting character in Star Wars.
I mean,
full stop.
I won't push back that much against it. I will if Nine is done well, I will agree with that.
It's so.
I think Kylo Ren is a great character. I'm interested to see how it will do. I'm cautiously optimistic that Nine will be good because none of the Disney era Star Wars movies have been bad. Although I will say, I think Rogue One is my favorite of them.
Rogue One's amazing.
Yeah.
I've said it before, and I'll just throw it again because I love it. Which is that the great thing with Kylo Ren is that if they had tried to give us another Darth Vader, they would have failed. So instead, they gave us someone failing to be another Darth Vader,
which
and
is
that
excellent.
Is all the difference in the world. That shows smart writing and understanding what's going to happen.
Yeah, no, them not doing Darth Vader again.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. or at least not doing it well showed well.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm hopeful for Nine. I'm glad they canceled some of their other spinoff things because, good Lord, too much Star Wars.
Nope.
I mean, I never thought I'd say that, but please.
I don't think they're
too
gonna,
much Star Wars.
I don't think they're going to kill it because it's the same thing as the Marvel. The Marvel stuff's never going to stop. The Disney Star Wars is never going to stop. We're going to be indulgulated with it. Indulgulated, whatever word I'm looking for.
Inundated.
There you go. With it forever.
I still can't think of the word I was trying to say.
You'll think of it like in the middle of the next Zappity Grumble. Here, we'll get there. Zappity.
Grumble. Zappity, Nate, do you enjoy teriyaki or ketchup?
No, they even went, what is the sauce of the year choice, teriyaki or ketchup? My answer is eating a gun with no sauce on it.
What if it is a ketchup gun with a teriyaki sauce?
Ketchup is more often excusable amongst those two.
Nathan will choose buckshot as a sauce over either of those.
Grumble. Amongst those two, the one I am more likely to actually willingly ingest is ketchup. But it means something's gone terribly wrong.
Is teriyaki actually a sauce?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I thought it was a way of preparing food.
No, it's a sauce. It's a flavor. So if it's a sauce in general, but they use it as a flavor on things like jerky that don't want to have sauce.
Isn't it kind of like what happens if you mix like raw Coke syrup with soy sauce?
Basically, yeah. It is just if soy sauce and shitty barbecue sauce had a baby, with disabilities.
Okay, Zappity.
Well, other people have to answer. No, it doesn't matter for anyone else.
That was all. That was all Nathan.
There was one higher up, and there's also one still on
all
the
screen. Zappity, better soup, Panera bread, Potbelly, or other?
Panera for me.
Other is a big category there.
Yeah.
But I will say I will take Panera's French onion soup over anything at Potbelly.
Yeah, Panera does pretty good soup.
Yeah, I don't go to Potbelly for soup, so I guess I can't judge. But I eat soup anytime I go to Panera.
No.
Yeah, I think Panera's soups are a little expensive for what they are.
Panera's everything is expensive.
They are expensive,
you either have an $8 grilled cheese sandwich or a $5 soup.
You choose the
$5 soup. And I'm going to take the $5 soup.
Yeah. Like a $4 cinnamon roll, which is a good cinnamon roll, but it shouldn't be $4.
I actually do the half and half, where for $7, I get half a grilled cheese sandwich and a cup of soup.
I'm not happy when I go to Panera's because it is literally like a $30 meal. I'm like, this isn't worth $30. I would rather go to Who Hut's.
Yeah. Yes. Well, apparently not with us.
I have a local one now.
We're not there.
There's one in Sun Prairie, too. It's nice.
That's fine. I guess I'll go home to my high school friend I don't see very often, who's literally at my house right now, instead of hanging out with you.
All right, scroll up. I forget what the first one was.
Well, you just do that one now. That's on.
Sure.
Okay.
Is there one? Oh.
What movie/TV series/book would you like to see turned into a tabletop minigame, and by what company?
Dune!
By what company?
Anyone!
Okay,
Games Workshop.
Game Workshop Dune.
you know what? Hordes of fucking nothing just dying in droves. That's kind of appropriate.
Monkey's paw closes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I have every time the mini crate comes around, they have Legend of the Five Rings by models by Privateer Press. I'm like, are you going to make a game? Are you going to make a game? Because that would be cool.
I lied. Three Kingdoms.
Romance of the Three Kingdoms.
That would be fucking amazing. Because you have your faceless army, you know, fighting each other. But then, like solos, like warcasters are so built into that story.
Yeah.
Like having your Zhang Fei and your Guan Yu, and then Liu Bei as your main leader amongst those faceless guys. Fuck yeah. And that could be done by Games Workshop if you want to monkey paws me, because they, you know, have that mechanic. But yes, Three Kingdoms. Holy shit, I could see it in my head and it's beautiful.
I think a Jurassic Park game, like you, if you remember the really old board game,
yeah,
where you had the T-Rexes and the Velociraptors running around the map, actually making a miniature game out of that, because so they...
Is it like one of us plays the dinosaurs and one plays the humans? See, or is it like cooperative
AI? I don't know, because it could be really interesting as a different kind of miniature game.
You could do that as an Overlord one, where you have an Overlord that's controlling the dinosaurs, and you have a group of people trying to survive.
I mean, only if there's an option for having both players control dinosaurs and fighting each other.
Yeah, like, because at that point, because you take the second... Jurassic World movie, and you take it to militarizing the dinosaurs, then all of a sudden you can do that where you have literally human plus dinosaur like teams fighting other teams. You can make that kind of skirmish game.
You still have that bullshit though, is like, I've got a sniper rifle with a laser on it. Why don't I just shoot that guy in the head?
Sure.
Instead of sending a raptor after
him. Because that will cost an unnecessarily large number of points, and so you use the dinosaur instead.
Oh, that's the problem explanation, solved. Actually. Yeah.
I suppose if you're
for
doing...
some reason, bullets as a modifier on your unit is extremely point intensive. Yeah. It's bad game balance. But genetically modified monsters are just really cheap to throw into your list.
And, well, I have to fanboy my company, so it's obvious what company I'm picking to make my games.
And if they make the miniatures of like Jurassic Park style dinosaurs as opposed to real dinosaurs, I'm going to fucking put feathers on them.
Sure, but
I'd be happy.
I'd be okay with either.
There's no
version.
Feathers in Jurassic Park dinosaurs.
I know,
and that's perfectly sensical because the Jurassic Park dinosaurs aren't accurate dinosaurs.
Correct.
Dinosaurs with feathers wouldn't sell tickets, so they purposefully genetically engineered them without feathers. Not a plot hole.
Okay,
it's actually I agree with Nathan on that a lot.
They do explain that in Jurassic World. No,
it's one of the few good things in the Jurassic World movies is that they take that fan headcanon and make it official.
I never sat through one of them. So.
You should. They're really bad.
Jurassic World isn't that bad.
World is an okay monster movie.
Yeah,
it's a terrible dinosaur movie.
Yes,
but it's an okay monster movie.
Yep.
And the thing I point to that is they don't have like the scene with Grant in the tree like you have in Jurassic Park.
Correct.
Where he's just appreciating the beauty and the majesty.
Because that would make it a dinosaur movie. Correct. Then.
So Jurassic World is a tolerable monster movie.
Yep.
And Jurassic World 2 is just hot garbage. Hot fucking garbage.
I tried watching
start
part
to
of
beginning.
It.
So
I saw him in theater.
Suicide Squad or Jurassic World 2?
Suicide Squad.
My
wow.
My game.
At least there's hot people in it.
There's folks that have tried to build a game recently. Car Wars. I want to have. I would love to see a Death Race 2000.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just a miniature board game, because I mean, going with all the cars from that series,
Mad Max as well, like a Mad Max.
No.
Death Race is cheesier.
They've already done a Mad Max. It's called Gorka Morka.
Sure.
Sure. I can get behind that.
Gorka Morka needs to come back anyway, because that game is fucking amazing. Why didn't GW just suddenly release rule books for Gorka Morka when Fury Road came out?
True. Yeah, just ride those coattails.
Yeah, just like here's some rules about orcs in Australia.
Yeah. And just, you know, like, just skirt the line of copyright infringement and be like the Furious Roads, like on the book.
I got the quote finally. It finally popped in my head.
Told you
That Solo is aggressively competent.
Okay, that's a good term. Yeah. Glad you remembered it.
Jesus Christ! Oh, my mind just suddenly takes shit sometimes.
Zappity.
Sometimes
grumble.
Yeah. All
right, scroll up. There's one more. There's one more off the screen.
Yeah, no, it's like, does anybody even eat at
Carl's
Jr.
or
Hardee's?
Hardee's is fine.
Hardee's is
fine.
They're fine.
Yeah. Just not locally to us.
Yeah. No, there's one.
One by Middleton, but that's not super local.
There's one outside of East Hardee's Mall.
Coming back from with the old location for Gamed Universe.
Yeah,
there was a Hardee's just off the Beltline, like three exits away from there, and we would stop there on the way after.
So there's one in Franklin area
around there. I don't know exactly where.
No, there's one by like Highway Q or something like that.
Huh.
It was right off.
I was
like
not aware that there was
it still
there.
Is.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
But no, I mean their burgers are fine. Their hand breaded chicken tenders are pretty good.
Those chicken strips are really good.
And again, because I care about the diet soda I can have at a restaurant, because drinking is a part of the meal, and I don't like drinking sugared sodas, and so everywhere I go, I'm mostly stuck with Diet Pepsi and Diet Coke, which I hate both of them. And most Hardee's places have Coke Zero on their soda machines, which is really nice.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah, I'm fine with Hardee's. Their breakfast sandwiches are also really good.
Excellent. Zappity.
And that is it. So we're done with the recommendations.
Okay. I'm going to recommend seeing Spider-Man's. The Spider-Man Far From Home is a good movie.
I'm going to see it tomorrow or the day after, because I took the next 2 days off so I can go at like noon and there won't be anybody there.
I was surprised, though, because we saw it last night and we got tickets in like the center of the theater. So I don't know if it's not doing that well or something. But
it's a long weekend.
It's beat Endgame's record.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. For the
Wow.
For opening weekend.
Okay.
I mean, it's also started on last Tuesday.
Yeah. It started, it's a long
weekend.
Yeah, it's a long weekend.
Fuck? Yeah. What the fuck?
Because they didn't want to put it on Thursday.
Why not? Well, everything comes out on Thursday.
It's the fourth. It's so
it's
dumb.
It's Wednesday.
Yeah.
Why skip Wednesday and go to Tuesday?
It's so dumb.
You also got to think, though, too, is they also lost money, too, because most movie theaters will show things for cheaper on Tuesday. Like, I got to go see it on IMAX over at the New Vision Theater here for $5.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that the place right near Noble Knight?
Yep.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, it's actually where I saw Spider-Man today again. And then stop by.
Wednesday would have been fine because people could stay up late because they had Thursday off because it was a holiday.
Yep. Sure. No, it makes sense. But I don't know. But movie's good.
Yes, it was a very good movie. All of the recent Spider-Mans have been good.
Sadly, I haven't seen either of them. I need to see both of them.
Yeah.
I think I liked Homecoming better, but I don't know. They're both Homecoming. Really good.
So there's three recent Spider-Mans. I don't know if you saw one of them.
I saw one of them.
I
saw the Spider-Verse.
Good. Yeah. So you saw the best Spider-Man.
Yeah. There's been four recent Spider-Mans.
What's the other one?
Civil War.
Spider-Man is in it.
Yeah. I haven't seen Homecoming, Far From Home,
over
or Ant-Man and Wasp.
His introduction into the world.
I mean, see Homecoming before Far From Home. Just
sure.
But Homecoming is also really good.
It's not necessary.
You need to see Far From Home. You need to see Endgame before you see Far From Home.
Yes.
I know for sure.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you break a shit ton of spoilers if you're not aware of what happens in Endgame.
Yeah. But no, you don't
Didn't
actually
they do
need
that
to
re-release
see
yet for Infinity War or no?
It's out now, I think. Mm.
The extra footage?
Yeah.
That release is out.
Okay.
I don't think it's beat Avatar yet.
They're competing against themselves?
Yes. Mm. They put it out right before Homecoming, which is really weird.
Mm. I guess as a lead-in, like, you know, so you
but
can watch it before.
But then India just went, I forget which day this week, it went actually live in India to try to get to break the Avatar record.
They'll break the Avatar record because they were only like 50 million short before this release, and there's no way that this re-release with extra footage doesn't get them $50 million.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to end up seeing it again too.
But it's been a great few years for Spider-Man movies, because I saw Spider-Man Homecoming and I was like, wow, this was a really good movie. This was the best Spider-Man movie.
Little did you know it'd be the worst Spider-Man movie for
a
time.
Yeah, and then Into the Spider-Verse came out and I was like, okay, this was even better. And the Far From Home was also really good.
Yep,
but not better than Spider-Verse.
No,
take that.
Yep.
Impossible standards.
So, a quick announcement on the Spider-Man's movie. There is a mid-credits sequence that's really good, and there is an end-credits sequence.
Yeah, the mid-credit is profoundly fan service.
15 million. Yeah, the end credits I heard are really good for.
Yeah, there's two of them. So I'm fine with giving that type of.
There's always two now. The last time there was a Marvel movie without two of them.
It was Endgame.
Not counting Endgame, because Endgame had none, which was very appropriate. Yeah. But, well, debatably, it had
the
it,
sound.
It didn't have a scene. It had one fucking sound effect at the end of the credits. That doesn't count. But apart from that, it's pretty standard to have a mid-credit. And by mid, I mean 30 seconds into the credits. Yeah. And then and one then at the very end.
Yeah. Nathan?
What?
Recommendation?
Oh. Yeah, so there's a... what was my recommendation? There is a TV show. No, that sucks. I'm going to go with Odd Tinkering, which is a YouTube channel. So I am on a rabbit hole of having YouTube channels that are just kind of like, you okay, Andy? You was going to die? Don't die, Andy. Don't die now. Die later when it's appropriate for you to do so. I don't want him to never die because that'll be like a terrible thing where he's floating in space after like the heat death of the universe, and that's not going to... I don't want to damn him to that.
Hey, Nathan, I hope you never die.
Rude. Wow.
Make sure...
Wow.
When you're never dying, Nathan, that you always hang out at the WIITC.
I'm thinking that Travis accidentally just switched into... He code-shifted into German, and he said, Nathan, I hope you never the... I don't know why he said, I hope you never the, but that's the sentence that he said. Anyway, so remember I recommended like technology connections. You know, it's just kind of a fun thing to watch, and it's kind of a How Stuff Made kind of thing where you can shut your brain off and almost ASMR it. Well, even beyond that, Odd Tinkering is just a dude who just like fixes stuff, like an old rusty like lighter from the 1800s. Or that's the cool. Last couple, he had like a Game Boy and NES and an SNES that weren't working. And he even got to the point where he used UV lights and hydrogen peroxide to re-dye them back to their original color instead that's of the cool. yellow. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't talk or anything. You just see like his hands and subtitles come up every once in a while to explain what he's doing. But he's surprisingly entertaining for just being somebody's hands fixing rusty knives.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it's good just like have on while you're painting and half pay attention to. Sometimes he does fun stuff, too. Like, he fixed a clamp, and he put googlies on it, so it looks like a little guy.
My son was watching a video of... my son's watching, like, the reality YouTubers, effectively. And one of the guys is fishing in underneath a bridge with a magnet. And it's kind of just entertaining to see the stuff they pull up from that. Yeah. And it's just like, oh, that's kind of neat. Like, that whole thought process of what you find underneath there. So it's that kind of reminds me of that same sort of thing, where it's like, oh, this thing can be fixed. And then...
Yeah,
fixing it.
And then at the end, like, he does the before and after comparison of just these rusty piles of nothing.
And it's amazing.
Yeah, because he'll replate things that had like nickel plating on them that's been stripped away. Like, he gets them all the way back, and it's really cool. Like I said, because he doesn't talk or anything, it has that very much that calm ASMR, just like put it on, glance up while you're painting, half watch it.
That's very cool.
Realize you've watched 100 of his videos and then be done with your life.
So on the 4th, there is a small little show, little known show called Stranger Things that came out. You might have heard of it.
Never watched it.
Never watched Stranger Things?
No.
I haven't, actually.
Is that the one about like the guy from some weird foreign country comes to live with his cousin?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. He's a sheep herder.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Yep. No,
okay, that one I did watch.
The season 3 of Stranger Things came out on Thursday.
How's Barb doing?
She's not doing too well. they did reference her in the show.
That's better than the second half of season 1.
Yeah. man, I would say this is one of the first times that I really sat down and binged it. As you know, I generally try to space it out a little bit, but man, this whole season was just fucking amazing, and I cannot wait until the next one. If you haven't seen Stranger Things, highly recommend it. It is just a great especially if somebody's a little bit 80s. Older.
Yeah, I mean, you get the 80s thing, you get the D&D referencing, you get, and then even outside of those specifics, the concepts of kids on an adventure, you get like that Goonies and Monster Squad feel that's what movies and stuff were like when we were younger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm not sure that genre is around as much anymore.
Not really.
You'll have movies with kids, but you don't have like the adventures in babysitting kind of thing where like six kids go on a...
But I'm sure that's coming back because all they're doing is remaking everything.
They did have a recent show that was on was it Netflix? I think it was Netflix. Rim of the World?
Yeah, it was really bad, but you know.
It was definitely made for...
It was entertainingly bad.
It was made for kids. I mean, that is like, if we try to watch Explorers now as adults, that movie is not very good.
I don't know that Rim of the World was made for kids, what with all of the overt sexual shit going on.
Yeah, well, there's... What?
bit.
There's a lot more violence in there too.
There is the scene where, for no reason whatsoever, one of the aliens sticks like a tentacle down the kid's mouth and then sprays him with goo. And instead of just leaving it like that, they straight out, flat out talk about the fact that that was the alien's dick and he just mouth raped the kid. Like,
okay.
Outside of that, it's pretty kid friendly.
Yeah.
But that scene happened. I was like, what? Yeah. Why?
But that doesn't happen in Stranger Things. Well, actually... Oh.
Spoilers.
You should watch Stranger Things. Yeah.
Spoiler. So that there is no alien mouth rape is a spoiler for Stranger Things.
Wow.
Cannot...
So I don't really watch much TV nor Netflix because I don't have Netflix. But I did randomly stumble upon the TV show Final Space.
Yes!
Chickadee-poo.
Final Space.
TBS. Yeah. Conan O'Brien, I believe, is a executive producer for it. Is
and Joel Hodgson, also involved, who people know as the creator of Mr. Science Theater 3000.
Mm-hmm. Oh, excellent.
What is her freaking name? The lady who you would first recognize her from those like AT&T commercials. What is that actress name?
The redhead?
Milena Ventra?
The redhead or no?
Milena...
But Final Space is a ton of fun. I binged the first season. It's 10 episodes. And then the second season is in progress right now. So there should be another episode tonight for the third episode of the season. And so I enjoyed the hell out of it. It didn't take long to... Yeah, that's the woman I know. Yes.
Yeah, she was like from the AT&T commercials and everything.
Yep. I thought she was a redhead for whatever reason.
I mean,
she might have been in some of the commercials. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, wigs and hair dye exist.
Yep, but... So that shows, like, it's not kid-friendly, but it's kid-friendly enough, but it is definitely adult. Like, it's a cartoon. And so it gets, you can kind of go with it, but it is, like, episode one, I think, has dismemberment. And it's just like, oh, that guy's got arm ripped off. It's like, oh, okay. And that guy's bleeding a whole bunch. That's very interesting. And so,
well, think about it.
I was listening to think of a different series. She's in the series Other Space, not Final Space.
Sure.
So once you said it was a cartoon, I realized I was thinking of the wrong series. Sure. Mm-hmm.
But so Final Space is what I have been watching.
Which is good. That one's also good. Now that I know the one you're talking about.
I enjoyed the hell out of Final Space. So definitely take a look at it. It does not take long. I binged it in, it's 24-minute episodes with commercials. And so it does not take long to binge through it.
Awesome.
Cool beans. I want steak.
Yeah. Screw you.
Well, next time, Gadget. Next time.
Fuck you. I'm never going to go to Who Hot with you again. Friendship ended with Travis, new best friend.
All right, some other
also,
judge.
Also, Travis, if you're going to try to prove that you're...
You already did that. You can't threaten to do the thing you already
did. I'll just keep doing it.
That's fine. You will anyway.
What?
Zuckerberg. What are you going to say,
Andy?
I was going to say, Travis, if you're also going to try to prove that you're actually a Who Hot and not just posting, you know, stock pictures, you actually have to put... pictures of you in it.
Oh, okay.
Then we would understand.
You can't.
Because that dish that you had, it didn't look like it was Who Hot
so,
at
so
all.
So you couldn't do the traditional go on the, I forget which webpage it is, to pull the geotag off of the, this page is meant for the women who receive dick pics. Mm-hmm. To literally take and find the information from the person because most people forget to take.
Data is a wonderful, wonderful.
Correct. Thing. People don't. Tear that shit off their photos or don't just disable it as they should. Sometimes it's actually really good. Like if you're taking photos of like things you explore, it's really cool to have that data in there. However, when you send personal information, you probably shouldn't put that information
in
there.
One of the reasons why anytime I post an image online, I convert it to PNG and then back to JPEG. First.
So you pull that out of that. Yeah. So it's you could do that to notify that those pictures were taken.
Dave has
I'm not gonna do full research. Just put your damn face in the picture next time.
Yeah.
But it was literally my ingredients.
How did you take a picture of your phone taking a picture of the Who? Did you have two phones? Did you borrow somebody else's phone and then have them text you the picture you took with their phone?
I remember.
Because you had a phone with his picture in your hand when you took the picture of your.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Who else is delicious? That's all I'm going to leave it at.
It's all right.
All right. Thanks, guys, for watching.
That's the friendship's over now.
It already was. So now I'm just being hurtful on purpose to my ex-friend.
I just cut it.
Right there. Like the new superhero group, the ex-friends. They all have superpowers to fight crime, but they don't like each other anymore. They had a falling out. That could be for the audio podcast. The live viewers don't get that.
The ex-friends.